Good evening. I hope you had a good afternoon. I actually fell asleep a little bit, so I got some rest, and I think probably a lot of you did the same thing, and that's a good thing. And that way we're all refreshed for this evening, and looking forward to tonight. So not really too many announcements I want to make note of this evening, so let's go ahead and begin with a word of prayer, and then we'll have our song service. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your goodness to us, and we do thank you for how you have blessed us in so many ways. We thank you for our friends and our family. And I do thank you even that you will never leave us or forsake us. Thank you that you are always there with us. So I pray that we would have our hope in you and our trust. I pray that you would just help us to rest in your and the comfort that you provide. So I do pray even as we look into your word this evening and as we sing songs of praise, I pray that your name would be lifted up and that you would be exalted. I pray that our hearts would be focused upon you. So we do pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
All right, let's stand together this evening and sing 373. Turn to number 470. 470. On to 399. That's one less than 400. And then to 543. When the roll is called up yonder. Sing this one out, because otherwise you'll be standing with me, singing it out. I guess you will. Hopefully. When the roll is called up yonder. A wonderful song of when we'll be able to see Christ in his heavenly place without sin. So let's sing. Amen. 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 Great singing. Thank you for that. 553, just a few pages to your right. 553. Sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. Just imagine the crystal sea that we'll see as we arrive at heaven's gates. Singing really fast. We've already gotten through 5 songs in about 10 minutes. So we're going to need some filler activity. Think of, as we sing on this next one, I'll Fly Away, 554 across the page. Think about a favorite song you would like to sing, because more than likely we'll be singing it. Mm-hmm. So let's think about that as we sing just across the page, I'll Fly Away, 554. Out of here by 1:45.
Amen.
Let's sing I'll Fly Away.
Some glad morning when this life is over, I'll fly away to the home of God's celestial shore. I'll fly away. I'll fly away, oh glory. I'll fly away.
Great singing. What do we have? What we'd like to sing, Amy?
75? 572.
572. 572. America the Beautiful. Are you feeling patriotic tonight? sing verse 1 and verse 4. But it's true. If you've ever been to another nation around the world, the difficulty and the hardships that are being a Christian, it's hard to imagine. There are places where it's not even religious persecution, but abject poverty makes it difficult for people to gather. And yet, the Spirit of God is still there among those people. It's amazing. We who have a building in the bitter cold and snow, who have, for the most part, self-sufficient incomes that keep us very comfortable, and yet we forget to be grateful to the God who gave us and placed us here and gave us all those things. So let's sing verse 4 with that in mind. America will go on as it is for a very long time, for as long as God allows, because one day America won't be here and we won't have the freedoms. Christians won't have the freedoms they have to share the good news of Jesus Christ. So use this time wisely. It's a unique time in history. All right, Betty, did you have one?
I did. 286 blessings in the final time.
286. Blessed be the tie that binds. Should we all get together and hold hands? Yeah. Maybe we can hold our own hands. All right, let's sing. We got all kinds of people. What do we have, Gayla?
11.
11? 511? 511. 511. Now I belong to Jesus.
Lord,
got some other hand up here, and we'll try to fit those both in, and then we should be have our time filled. Say, Joy. 579. Jesus loves me. 579. James.
198. Oh, yes.
I guess it must be a good one.
The one I can't play.
All right, let's stand together and sing 198 to close our song service tonight.
Setting my spirit free.
singing tonight. Yep, and get a drink of water if you need it. Otherwise, thank you. It was a blessing. And Pastor.
Amen. The wonderful grace of Jesus. So wonderful, isn't it? Something that we really can't even comprehend. God had so much grace and so much love. Wonderful. Let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you that you have bestowed upon us grace immeasurable. And we do thank you that there's nothing that we can do to earn it. We don't deserve it in the least, but yet you love us so much. You have showered upon us all of those blessings. So I pray that we'd stand in awe of you and your goodness to us. And even as we look into your word, I pray that you'd help us to understand and help us to live in light of the truth of your word. So we do pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Role models. We hear a lot about role models anymore, don't we? What is a role model? They are people that we look up to, aren't they? They're people that we follow. Now, in today's world, who often do we look, or who often, as far as the world anyway, or society in general, what type of people do they put up? Who do they set up as far as role models?
Tiger Woods.
Yeah. 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 A lot of times, they're people in the limelight, aren't they? They're the athletes, like Tiger Woods, or like Michael Jordan. Any number of athletes that we could think of. Let's say in the business world, who are some role models there that you think of? And people that have prospered and Donald Trump or Bill Gates or Warren Buffett. You know, you have any number of people like that. How about whenever you think of cooking? Who would be a person that, you know, at one time anyway, you could think of it as far as a role model? Yeah, Martha Stewart is who I was thinking of, or Julia Child. It's not that I watch the cooking channel all that much, but, you know, on IPTV anymore, you have all these different cooking shows, and sometimes it's kind of fun to watch that, but I don't know all the people on there. But even if it isn't in the limelight, as far as role models in the limelight, a lot of times in our own personal lives, who are the role models that we look to? A lot of times it's closer, isn't it? Family members. Maybe it's a brother or sister, or a mom or a dad. Or maybe it's a friend, or a pastor, or a co-worker. Maybe it's a teacher. Maybe it's a neighbor. But all too often, whether it be in TV land, you know, in the land of celebrities, the land of popularity, or even if it's in our own inner circles, what happens all too often? Those people that we have set up as our role models, or at least when we're talking about society as a whole, those people that they have set up as their role models, what happens all too often? All too often they fall from that high pedestal, don't they? And we realize what we once thought was a good role model was in reality far from it. And a lot of the names that we have just mentioned, like Tiger Woods, like Martha Stewart, like Michael Phelps, you remember the bit of news regarding him. You know, everybody thought he was great, and then what, he gets caught smoking whatever he was smoking. You know, he was doing drugs. You know, the role models oftentimes are found to be wanting. They really aren't people that your kids can look at and say, I want to follow them in every respect. Because, you know, they aren't really people that we should be following in every way. Now, as we think of born-again believers, and I hope that all of us here this evening are born-again believers, I hope we have role models that are different than the world. You know, because we are separate from the world. We should be different. The difference between light and darkness. So our role models should differ from those of the world. So as Christians, a lot of times we set up role models, and we're talking about broad-based Christianity. A lot of times, boys like athletics, right? So you may say, well, you know, Tim Tebow is a born-again believer. Okay, so he can be set up as a type of role model. Or Albert Pujols. Or we could go on, you know. Those are Christians in the limelight. And, you know, from what we can tell, they're living a good Christian life. But yet, even the likes of Tim Tebow and Albert Pujols, even though they're believers and they have professed that in front of millions of people, even men like that really may not conform to our belief system. They may not be biblical Christians as far as interpreting the whole Word of God. And so what do we do? And even if men like that were, you know, right along the Word of God and believe just as we did, we don't live side by side alongside them, do we? We don't know them really well. We just see them on TV or whatever. And so as we think about our own role models, who should we set up as a role model? And Paul is talking about the same thing as we turn to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Paul tells the Philippian church there are certain types of people, and he even gives example. He gives an example of himself and others who are like-minded. These are the type of people that you should be following in your Christian life. Let's go to Philippians chapter 3. And we're going to be looking at verses 17 through 21 this evening. Philippians chapter 3 and verses 17 through 21. Let's go ahead and read these. Brethren, join in following my example, and note those who so walk as you have us for a pattern. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to His glorious body, according to the working by which He is able even to subdue all things to Himself. And so what does Paul say there in verse 17? Brethren, join in following my example. He is encouraging them. See, you see me, you know me, you have just read my concerning my heart, you know, previously in this epistle. You know what my heart's desire. Follow my example. And this isn't something that Paul just said to the Philippian church. He said something very similar to the Christians in Corinth and the Christians in Thessalonica. And how was Paul able to say something like this? Was he some Christian who had his head up in the clouds, who thought that he was something special? And I think we really want to see the mind of Paul here. And we even read in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 1, and we see clearly what Paul was thinking. He wasn't thinking, well, I'm somebody special. No, what was he thinking? He was saying, imitate me just as I also imitate Christ. And Paul was telling the Philippians, you need to join together and follow my example. Now, so it's clear to us, Paul wasn't on some ego trip, but yet Paul was someone who was sold out for the gospel. We just saw earlier the heart of Paul. What was his desire? His desire was to give everything in pursuit of the goal. Give everything. Stretch out as if he was in a race. Give his all in pursuit of the full knowledge of Jesus Christ. To know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings being conformed to His death. That was Paul's heart. He was zealous. He went far out, further than many of his contemporaries in wanting to know Jesus Christ. And so Paul could say, look at me. I am someone that Christ has worked in a great way, and I have that desire to know Him fully. But yet Paul wasn't saying, just look at me and me alone. He goes on in verse 17, yes, join in following my example. And the Philippians knew Paul very well. But also he says, and know those who so walk, as you have us for a pattern. Now, there were others in the Christian community, even others that the Philippians would have known personally, that were walking with the same mind as Paul. Some of them he even named here in Philippians earlier on. You remember Timothy? You remember Epaphroditus? Paul could even be thinking perhaps of people like Aquila and Priscilla. You know, there were any number of Christians that were close to Paul that had that mindset of following Christ, of knowing Him fully. And so it wasn't so much the specific man or woman that they were following. It wasn't so much that specific role model that they followed. It was more, who is the role model following? And so if Paul is following Jesus Christ, he is a man that you can see in flesh and blood, that you can know, and you should follow his example. And just like Timothy and Epaphroditus, they are men who had the same mind as Paul, and they were giving their all to know Him. And the Philippians knew these men very well. Note those who so walk as you have us for a pattern. They were men that they could imitate, that the Philippians could imitate. They were good role models. And so we come to, and even before we come to verse 18, we find passages in other places in the Scripture, like 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12. This isn't something that was just beyond the ordinary as far as Paul encouraging others to follow a godly example and to be a godly example. We read in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12, Paul telling his spiritual son in the faith, Timothy, "Let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity." So Paul is saying, it's important, Timothy, how you live your life. Be an example to the believers around you. We go to the book of Hebrews, and the writer to the Hebrews says something very similar in chapter 13 and verse 7. "Remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct." And so these group of Hebrews, they were to follow those who are over them in the faith. We come to 1 Peter chapter 5, and we really kind of see the opposite end of it. "Shepherd the flock of God," in verse 2, "which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, not as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock." And so as leaders in the church, as pastors, as those whom God has entrusted with the leadership, they should be examples to the flock. That is a huge privilege and a huge responsibility. Wow. So what a blessing it is, as we are the body of Christ, what a blessing it is to pick out certain individuals, to see how God is working in their life, to see how God is changing them, and to be able to follow in their footsteps. And then as we continue to learn and to grow, what a blessing it is that we ourselves can be an example. Now, many of you here are parents this evening. You know how your children oftentimes look at you and they want to follow in your footsteps. And you realize how important it is that you live before them in a manner that is godly, so that your children can follow you in all of the ways as far as your behavior. What a privilege, but yet what a responsibility. So as Christians, we too need to be careful. How are we living? Are we living in such a way that those who see us can follow us in all ways and not in just some ways? Wow, that's a huge responsibility, but yet what a blessing that is. But now we continue on to verse 18. Paul had just told the Philippians, follow these good examples, but not everyone is living the way they should. There are people out there that are very bad examples, and you definitely don't want to be following them. Verses 18 and 19, but first of all, verse 18, "For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ." There are certain ones that are walking, that are living their lives contrary to the gospel. And this is something that really grieved the heart of Paul. It wasn't something that really didn't matter to him. Notice this. Paul had told them often, and even right now, Paul is telling the Philippians, and he is weeping. This is something that grieved his heart. And I think why it grieved his heart so much here, yes, they are enemies of the cross of Christ, and Paul doesn't tell us specifically, but I really think Paul here is referring to those who professed Christ. They are claiming to be believers, but yet in reality, as far as how they're living and what they're saying, they are denying Christ. They are enemies of the cross. And so Paul here, he is deeply grieved. No doubt the Philippians knew who he was talking about, but he gives a description of them in verse 19, "whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on earthly things." Paul tells about these people and he says that their end is destruction. These are ones that have not put their trust in Christ. These are ones that have not believed in Jesus Christ to the salvation of their soul. What is their end? It is not eternal fellowship with God. What is it? It is destruction. These are ones who have denied Christ, who are enemies. And what is their end? Ultimately, it is going to be a life of misery, eternity in misery in the lake of fire. Their end is destruction. Paul goes on to say, their God is their belly. So they are worshiping their belly, their stomachs. And I think, even though Paul doesn't really get down to specifics, I think we can safely say here that these are ones that are really desiring to satisfy, to indulge their fleshly appetites. Whether it's gluttony or whether it's sexual immorality or any number of other things, really I think their focus is on those physical pleasures. Even as Paul says in Romans chapter 16, in verses 17 and 18, "Now I urge you, brethren, know those who cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you learned, and avoid them. For those who are such do not serve our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by smooth words and flattering speech deceive the hearts of the simple." These are dangerous people. And then we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 12 and 13, "All things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Foods for the stomach, and stomach for the foods, but God will destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body." And so these ones here, their focus isn't on the spiritual, it's on the physical. Their concern is with the flesh, with gratifying those desires. And really, whenever we think about, yes, our stomachs and being hungry, yeah, these ones really are focused upon indulging those things, satisfying those desires. We continue on. "Whose glory is in their shame." Whose glory is in their shame. So those things that these people should have been really embarrassed about, the things that they should have been blushing at, the things that they should have been wanting to avoid, what were they doing? Instead of treating and running from them, they were looking at these things and they were really running to them. Their glory was in them. Instead of being ashamed of them, which rightfully they should have been, yet they looked at it as their glory. Their glory is in their shame. They were lifting these things up. These things that were atrocious and hideous. And finally, Paul describes them as having their mind set on earthly things. And really, this brings out concerning these people. They aren't focused on God. They aren't focused on storing up heavenly treasures. What are they focused on? They're focused on this earth, on this sinful world. They're focused not on those heavenly treasures. What are they focused on? They're focused on, no doubt, keeping to themselves treasures. They love money, no doubt, instead of loving God. These are ones that are totally, totally at odds with everything that Paul was preaching. And so we have the bad examples after Paul gives the good examples in verse 17, but now we come to verses 20 and 21, and wow, what a huge contrast. In contrast to those who have their focus set on earthly things, who are earthly minded, we come now to the Philippian church and those who are believing in Jesus Christ, those who are truly born again believers, and we read in verses 20 and 21, "For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to His glorious body, according to the working by which He is able even to subdue all things to Himself." Now as we look at the Philippians, no doubt some of them could have claimed Roman citizenship. Okay, and that was something to be prized in their day. But yet Paul was telling them that the Philippians, as believers, they have something even more precious than that Roman citizenship. And Paul could speak by experience here. Paul was a Roman citizen, and he used it to his advantage on numerous occasions. But yet he said, "We have something so much greater. We aren't just serving the Roman Empire here. No, we are from heaven. We are from the commonwealth of heaven. That is where our kingdom is. We look to Jesus. We look to the one who truly rules from heaven." And really, we read that word citizenship, but it also could be translated commonwealth. Our commonwealth is in heaven. That's where Jesus is. That's where everything valuable for us is. That's where our sight is focused. It is in heaven. And it's because Jesus is there. And notice what he says, "From which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." Jesus is the Savior. And we know that Jesus was born in Bethlehem. The Son of God became incarnate. And how did He provide our salvation? It was by dying on the cross for us, by being raised again on that third day. But notice, the Thessalonians aren't necessarily looking back to what Jesus had done, although that is fresh in their minds. That is something that should be fresh in all of our minds. But what are they looking to? They are eagerly waiting for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. They are waiting for the time when He comes to take them home. And so what I believe Paul is referring to here is the rapture of the church. The time when Jesus Christ is going to come back and He is going to raise the dead. Believers are going to be raised from their graves, and the living will be transformed. And Paul goes on in verse 21, Jesus Christ the Savior, the one who not only provides salvation as far as whenever we believe on Jesus Christ in that moment of time, but He gives us a full salvation whenever He comes to take us as His own, whenever we are made like Him, whenever sin is totally banished. Not only are we freed from the power of sin, but also from the presence of sin on that day. We read in verse 21, Jesus Christ will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to His glorious body according to the working by which He is able even to subdue all things to Himself. What a wonderful day that will be whenever we are no longer hindered by these bodies. Now praise the Lord we have these bodies. That is a great gift. But yet these bodies are not perfect, are they? They aren't like the Energizer Bunny, you know, that can keep going and going and going, because eventually that battery gives out, doesn't it? Eventually, we aren't able to beat that drum so hard. Eventually, we have the aches and the pains of life. And all of us recognize that, even if we're a little bit younger. All of us recognize these bodies are not perfect. They're weak. We're kind of falling apart, aren't we? But yet, praise the Lord, we aren't going to have these bodies forever. We aren't going to be in eternity with these bodies. God is going to give us a glorious body like His body. Yeah, truly, our bodies right now are lowly. And Jesus Christ knows what that's like. He had a body just like ours when He was on this earth. He experienced pain and hunger and suffering. But yet, what happened? When He died on that cross and rose again, He ascended to the Father. And what does He have now? He has a glorious body. And you know what? Our bodies one day will be like His bodies. Or like His body. What a wonderful thing. We read in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2, Beloved, now we are the children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. What a wonderful day. And Paul even goes in more detail. If you want to turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we just marvel in the fact that yes, even though we have bodies of dust right now, one day, we'll be transformed by His power. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we want to look at verses 45 through 55. An encouraging passage for us this evening. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and verses 45 through 55. And so it is written, the first man Adam became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. Of course, the first Adam referring to the Adam in the Garden of Eden. The last Adam referring to Jesus Christ our Lord. Verse 46. However, the spiritual is not first, but the natural, and afterward the spiritual. The first man was of the earth, made of dust. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As was the man of dust, so also are those who are made of dust. And as is the heavenly man, so also are those who are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly man. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? Wow. What a wonderful passage, isn't it? And so we recognize the first Adam, the Adam in the Garden of Eden, he had a great body, but yet what did he do? He chose to sin. And so as a result of that, all of his descendants, all the way down to you and I, inherit, we have this body that is made of dust, a body that is mortal and corruptible. But yet, praise the Lord, Christ, the second Adam, he never sinned once. He is the perfect God-man. He died on the cross for us. And he rose again from the dead. And he, right now, has a perfect body, a glorious body. And one day, Jesus Christ is going to transform our miserable bodies, our lowly bodies, and make them just like his body, the body that he has now in heaven. And so it's at this future time, the rapture of the church, when the dead in Christ will rise, when the living will be changed, that is what Paul is looking forward to. That is really the goal for which he is striving toward. That is what he desires, to know Christ fully. And on that day, we will know Christ fully. What a wonderful thought. And notice, how is Christ able to do this? It's according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. Jesus Christ is omnipotent. He has the almighty power of God because he is God. He is able to subdue all things under himself. Every knee one day will bow at the name of Jesus. And it's in accordance with this power, it's because he is omnipotent, that he is going to change our bodies to make them just like his. Jesus Christ is more than capable of doing what he has promised. What a wonderful thought. We sing the song, "Oh, to be like thee, blessed Redeemer." What a blessing it is that, yes, while we are on our earth right now, we can be like Jesus Christ. Remember what we just saw earlier in chapter 2 of Philippians. How did Jesus Christ live his life on this earth? He was humble, wasn't he? He was obedient to the Father to the utmost extent, to the point of dying on the death of the cross. He didn't look to his own interests. What did he do? He looked for the interests of others. And we can follow the example of Jesus Christ, have the mind of Christ, and be humble and obedient and loving, even as he was. But Jesus Christ, he didn't stay on earth forever. He didn't keep this body forever. He is in heaven right now, and he is lifted up. He is at the right hand of the throne of God. He is in wonderful glory. And you know what? One day, whenever we see Jesus Christ, we too will be exalted. And it's only because of Jesus Christ. But yet, what a wonderful thought. One day, we will have glorified bodies. What a thought. So let us, this evening, let us look ahead to that wonderful day, because Jesus Christ could return at any moment. Even before the service is over, Jesus Christ could come and transform our bodies to something like he has. But yet, in the here and now, before Jesus comes, what must we do? We must continue pressing on. We must continue to serve Jesus Christ with the mind of Christ. We must be humble and obedient and loving one another, praying for one another, encouraging one another. So yes, let us look ahead to that hope. Let us keep on pressing on. Let us praise the Lord, because one day we are going to be with him personally. Yes, Jesus Christ is in our midst even right now, because he is omnipresent. The triune Godhead really is in our midst. But yet one day we are going to be with God in heaven, praising him, worshiping him. What a wonderful thought. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for what you have shown us here in Philippians. I thank you that you have shown to us how we should be following men of God, godly examples like Paul and like Timothy and Epaphroditus. I pray that you'd help us to follow those good examples. Help us to be those good examples. Help us to stay away from those who are enemies of the cross of Christ. Help us to shun their ungodly example. And help us, Lord Jesus, to have our hope in you. Help us to look ahead to that day when you will come back for us and transform our lowly bodies like to your glorious body. And I pray that even as we are living right now on a day-to-day basis, help us to serve you, having the mind of Christ. So I do pray that you'd help us with all these things, and we thank you for the promises you have given to us in your word. What a privilege it is to be a believer, to study your word, and to know that you are God and that you love us. So we do pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's stand and close with 387. 387.
have that desire to be like Jesus Christ? Are we in that race? And we are in the race. If you're a believer, you're in the race. But are you giving your all to reach that goal of knowing Him fully, to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ? That should be our desire, even right now. But praise the Lord, we look ahead to that day when one day we will no longer be encumbered by sin and by weakness. We will be like our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
All right, let's sing verse 3.
Here to hear your word. Thank you for the encouragement that it is that one day that we will get to see you. One day we will be like you, Lord. And we thank you for that hope that we have. I pray that we would live in light of that. And I just pray, God, that you would keep that in our minds throughout the rest of this week. And I want to pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Yeah.
That's right.